MRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. A police standoff on Afton Mountain leaves one man injured and traffic on Interstate 64 backed up for hours. Virginia's Secretary of Education visits JMU for a discussion with outgoing University President Jonathan Alger. And UVA's School of Nursing hosts a conference on the impact of climate change on public health. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, April 11. A police standoff on Afton Mountain Wednesday evening left one man injured, and traffic on Interstate 64 backed up for hours. The Waynesboro police said it was one of their officers that shot the man, a suspect in a shooting reported earlier in the day. The wounded man suffered what police called serious but non-life-threatening injuries and was being treated at University of Virginia Medical Center in Charlottesville Wednesday night. Virginia State Police, at the request of Waynesboro Police Chief David Shaw, is investigating the matter. The police shooting followed a chase from Waynesboro onto I-64 and into Albemarle County. Virginia's Secretary of Education, Amy Gadara, visited James Madison University on Tuesday for a discussion with outgoing University President Jonathan Alger. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
About 200 people gathered in Wilson Hall to hear Gadara speak on making data-backed decisions in education and the importance of ideological diversity. Gadara referenced the state's new history and social science standards, which were adopted last April and go into effect in the 2025-26 school year. Competing drafts submitted by conservative advocacy groups and educator and historian coalitions led to months of contention, but Gadara lauded the final outcome.
You might have heard that we whitewashed history, but I'll tell you a couple things. For the first time ever, Virginia students will learn that slavery was the primary cause of the Civil War. For the first time ever, students will be taught about lynching, both in the 5th grade and 11th grade. And for the first time ever, we will talk about Fort Monroe as being the point where enslaved Africans showed up on North American soil.
The new 4th and 5th grade standards describe slavery as the cause and primary cause of the Civil War. The 11th grade standards have students evaluate the role of slavery as one of the conflicts leading to war. And the subject of lynching is included in the new U.S. History 2 curriculum, taught in either 6th or 7th grade. It was previously included in the detailed framework of the 2015 version, under the standard about racial segregation. Gadara also said her office has asked Virginia's colleges to review their admissions process, as some institutions, including Yale and MIT, have chosen to reinstate SAT and ACT test score requirements.
Because the data is showing that it's an important measure of success, in more important than grades and class rank, and with better results for predicting success in college.
She said tests are often seen as hammers when they should be considered flashlights. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
Full disclosure, JMU's Board of Visitors holds WMRA's operating license and JMU underwrites programming on the station. A judge has rejected efforts by the Natural Bridge Zoo's defense to have the Rockbridge County Circuit Court trial start again from scratch. The news leader reports that it's been over a month since a jury came back with a verdict returning 29 of the 100 seized animals to the zoo and keeping 71 animals with the Commonwealth. One of the returned animals, a gibbon, and one of the animals to stay with the state, a skink, passed away before the jury heard the case. A former assistant principal at Richneck Elementary School in Newport News has been indicted in the high-profile shooting of a teacher by a 6-year-old student. The Washington Post reports it is believed to be the first case in which an administrator had been charged in connection with the handling of a school shooting. A special grand jury in Newport News charged Ebony Parker with 8 counts of child abuse on March 11th, a little over a year after the shooting generated national attention because of the shooter's age. The court records were made public Tuesday. Abigail Zwerner, the teacher who was shot and seriously wounded, alleges in a $40 million lawsuit that Parker was warned at least 3 times on the day of the shooting in January 2023 that the boy had a gun, but failed to do anything. Zwerner claims the shooting could have been avoided. Climate change is increasingly recognized as a public health problem. This weekend, the University of Virginia's School of Nursing will host a conference on the impact of climate change on our health. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman reports.
UVA nursing professor Tracy Kelly is an expert on children and health. She says little ones will be especially vulnerable as temperatures rise here in Virginia.
We know they're outside more often. They play. They're lower to the ground. They have a higher respiratory pattern. So they're more vulnerable to certain illnesses related to heat.
The elderly and people who work outside are also at increased risk. And states like Arizona already report more cases of heat exhaustion, heat stroke, and burn injuries. Kelly also notes that we should be on the lookout for some diseases that were found only in the tropics.
Zika initially started down in South America, and it began to move up to Central America, and we now see it in the United States. So we're not used to seeing diseases like that here, but we need to be.
Kelly notes growing anxiety in teens and young adults who feel the responsibility to address climate change, an immense existential crisis they have inherited. She hopes this weekend's conference will lead to updated curricula for nursing and medical students, and perhaps to more research on how warmer weather will impact their patients. In Charlottesville, I'm Sandy Hausman.
Governor Glenn Youngkin ran on a law and order platform, and while that may have put most criminal justice reform efforts on the chopping block, advocates and elected officials have been surprised by what survived his veto pen. Also with Virginia Public Radio, Brad Kuttner reports.
Governor Glenn Youngkin signed new laws creating independent oversight of the state's Department of Corrections, added reasonable limits to the use of canines in prisons. He also signed a bill by Democratic Delegate Irene Shin, which orders jails to put profits from commissary purchases and phone calls back into jail programs, not employee pockets. Here's Shin.
Programs for rehabilitation, educational, and recreational use.
But advocates are pretty mad about some of Youngkin's other actions. Sean Winetta is with the Virginia ACLU. He helped build bipartisan support for changes in earned sentence credits, which would have gotten well-behaved incarcerated people out of state custody sooner, saving millions of dollars. And Democrats, in their conference budget, used those millions to boost victim services. But the swap didn't survive the governor's budget amendments Monday. Here's Winetta.
And it's going to be even harder to provide those victim services if the governor's slashing of victim funding.
And while Justice Forward's Rob Pogan class praised Youngkin for giving court-appointed attorneys their first raise in 20 years, he was gobsmacked by vetoes on a handful of expungement efforts. Among them was expungement for arrests that never ended with a conviction. Youngkin said it would allow offenders to avoid the consequences of their actions, but Pogan class pushed back on the idea.
How do you say that someone is avoiding the full consequences of their action by expunging a record of something they were never convicted of?
While many of the vetoed criminal justice reforms had bipartisan support, none reached a veto-proof majority. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Youngkin recently vetoed a bill that would have required freight trains to have more than one crew member, but the veto landed a few weeks prior to a new federal ruling. Ian Stewart with VPM News has more.
Last week, the Federal Railroad Administration said that staffing freight trains with at least two crew members will ensure rail operations are uniform and safer throughout the country. Mark Wallace with the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen agrees.
The engineers are a lot of times hyper-focused on the controls and what's happening not only on the front of the train, but what's happening in the middle and on the rear of the train. It's very helpful and we think necessary to have a second crew person on the train with us.
Youngkin says mandating crew size is, quote, a blunt regulatory tool that complicates collective bargaining between railroads and unions. Prior to the federal ruling, 11 states required a two-person crew, according to the trade publication Freight Waves. Wallace says his union will continue pushing for passage of the Federal Railway Safety Act. That piece of legislation would help develop new rail safety guidelines.
Ian Stewart reporting. Virginia's workforce development is in the midst of a reorganization designed to better utilize federal funds. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Last year, Governor Glenn Youngkin signed a bill that created a new Department of Workforce Development and Advancement. Now he's signing legislation to give the new department a commissioner and collect data about jobs. Here's Senator David Suderline, a Republican from Roanoke County, who introduced the bill.
Several governors for a long time and also several legislators would start all these different workforce projects, and a lot of them very good, very well-intentioned, but they were scattered in many of these different places. And so by trying to consolidate this, we hope to have less cross currents.
Virginia officials are hoping to make sure federal money available for dislocated workers gets to the people who need it the most. John Provo is executive director for the Center for Economic and Community Engagement at Virginia Tech.
Well, the bill creates a greater line of accountability from the new Department of Workforce Development and Advancement, and really gives that gubernatorially appointed official greater involvement and responsibility for shaping the approach to the largest of these sort of funds focused on dislocated workers.
The newly created commissioner of the Department of Workforce Development and Advancement will be accountable for making sure all that federal money gets to the dislocated workers so they can get jobs in Virginia. Michael Pope.
And finally today, Governor Youngkin finished approving, amending, and vetoing legislation late Monday night. Megan Moore with VPM News has more on some of the governor's last-minute vetoes.
Youngkin vetoed 52 pieces of legislation, including proposals on ranked choice voting and parking spaces for electric vehicles, among others. A ranked choice voting bill would have clarified requirements for holding elections using the system. The governor vetoed the measure, saying it's still a new practice in Virginia. Historically, the method can be traced back to the 13th century, and during the 1850s, it became popular in Europe. Another bill Youngkin vetoed would have removed the requirement for parking signs at spaces reserved for charging electric vehicles to include the potential penalty. Virginia's General Assembly will reconvene April 17th to act on the governor's other amendments.
Megan Moore reporting for WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy your Thursday.